Shabbat Shalom. I think this is amazing parasha, and I don't know if actually I need to do anything here today. Honestly, it is so straightforward.
It is.
Really?
It is. It's really good.
Do you think? Who thinks is this absolutely straightforward?
Yeah.
I think so. My job is done. Let us pray. Heavenly Abba, Yehaba Elohenu, Malech HaOlam, thank you for your word. Please open our eyes to see and our hearts to understand. Let your word reach the darkest corners of our souls, bringing light, transformation, and life to our lives. In the precious name of Yeshua. Amen. So a few days ago, I was watching just a TV show. If I'm not sure if people watch or familiar with House of Cards, it's sort of political drama, I guess. And just one time I turned on the TV, and anyway, I watched it, and there was the whole story is about. About the president and the struggle for power, as usual. And at one time, he came to a Catholic, I think it was Catholic priest, and he asked him, "I want to understand what justice is." The priest said to him, "Well, this is a big one." "I know," he said. And priest said, "There is our justice, the kind man create. We based it on things like the Ten Commandments, but those can be read in a million different ways." How true is this? Sad, but true. The world's justice is the kind that man creates. And some do base it on the Ten Commandments, or so they think. But even then, they can interpret it in a million different ways. Reading today's parasha, I thought, how can you interpret things in a million different ways? It is so clear and straightforward. So, it is entirely possible to read the word and be convinced that you understand it and yet be miles away from the truth. And the sad thing is that many are convinced that they are doing the right thing, walking through entire lives only to find the unpleasant surprise. Does Yehovah excuse the delusion or ignorance? Can his word really be read in a million different ways? And if yes, then what is the point? It reminds me of the words of Yeshua in Matthew 7:21-27. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name?' Then I will tell them to their faces, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness.' So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on a bedrock. The rain fell, the rivers flooded, the winds blew and beat against the house, but it didn't collapse because its foundation was on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the rivers flooded, the wind blew and the beat against that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was horrendous or horrible. So the word states that so if we act on the word, as Yeshua said, it compared to be a sensible man who built his house on a rock. And those who hear his word and do not act on them are compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So does Yeshua excuse the delusion or ignorance? The word doesn't provide an excuse for not acting on Elohim's commandments. However, what we just read, did Yeshua actually reveal something new? Or was he just simply reiterating what was already given to the people of Israel a long time ago? As we read in today's Torah portion in Vayikra, we can clearly see that there was no middle ground. There was no room for interpretation, especially millions ways. There was no gray area. And it is understandable. We need to understand the community of Israel, the multitude of people, they were moving out of Egypt into a new life. It was absolutely important to establish clear boundaries. The boundaries are important. These boundaries that Yahweh established were what made, or better to say, supposed to make the people of Yahweh different from the rest of the world. It is fair to say that today people do not like boundaries. Liberalism promotes freedom to do what you feel like to do. Many live their lives in a constant rebellion with the motto that rules are there to be broken. It is, I guess, those people who tends to read the Ten Commandments and interpret it in a million different ways. And I didn't put the scripture, but in Deuteronomy 6:18, you are to do what is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, so that things will go well with you. And in Deuteronomy 6:24, Yahweh ordered us to observe all these laws, to fear Yahweh our Elohim, always, for our own good, so that He might keep us alive as we are today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to obey all these mitzvot before Yahweh our Elohim, just as He ordered us to do. So for us, these boundaries set us apart from the rest of the world, separating light from the darkness, righteous from the unrighteous. Let us read again beginning of today's parasha, Vayikra Leviticus 26, from verse, let it read from verse 3 to 13. If you live by my regulations, observe my mitzvot and obey them. Then I will provide the rain you need in its season. The land will yield its produce, and the trees in the field will yield their fruit. Your threshing time will extend until the grape harvest, and your grape harvesting will extend until the time for sowing seed. You will eat as much food as you want and live securely in your land. I will give shalom in the land. You will lie down and sleep unafraid of anyone. I will rid the land of wild animals. The sword will not go through your land. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall before your sword. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemies will fall before your sword. I will turn toward you, make you productive, increase your numbers, and uphold my covenant with you. You will eat all you want from last year's harvest and throughout what remains of the old to make room for the new. I will put my tabernacle among you, and I will not reject you, but I will walk among you and be your Elohim, and you will be my people. I am Yehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke, so that you can walk upright. So, what the question is? What is the difference between physical and spiritual? And I guess a common sense tell us any physical is what we can feel, touch, anything what interacts with our bodies. The Torah, as we just read, says that if you pursue the commandments, keep them, and observe them, good things will happen to you. And as we just read, a list of physical blessings that the nation of Israel can anticipate to keeping the Torah. It includes, as we read, the adequate rainfall, agricultural prosperity, national security. This list of blessings is followed by a list of curses. I'm not going to read it. And those curses, if the nations breaks the Torah. Beginning with agricultural failure and war, the punishments conclude with exile from the land. This simple equation of blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience is the basic concept of reward and punishment. Nevertheless, why doesn't the Torah mention anything about spiritual reward and punishment? The blessings and curses are mostly physical, that relates to life in this world. What about the world to come, or kingdom of heaven? See, the Torah is, as we read, the Torah is not really a manual for how individual can earn eternal life. The Torah is a manual for how the nation of Israel is supposed to keep Elohim's covenant. Therefore, the reward and punishments for keeping or breaking Torah are cast in terms of as a nation as a whole. Remember the story of Elijah or Eliyahu, the prophet, when Israel was guilty of idol worship. So, in other words, they broke the covenant. What happened, the story, remember, the rain stopped and didn't rain for 3 years. Eliyahu, however, himself, as we know, he was a righteous person. He kept the Torah and quite a few number of his countrymen who also been righteous, they also kept the Torah. If the rewards and punishment of the Torah will apply on an individual basis, Elijah and all other faithful men should have had abundant rain on their property, while the rest of the land of Israel endured the drought. And of course, we know it doesn't work that way. The whole nation, the righteous and the wicked, endured a punishing drought. The Torah's blessings and punishment are visited upon the nations as a whole for their collective obedience or disobedience. This means that the righteous people may quite often find themselves suffering for the sin of the wicked. Or conversely, wicked people may find themselves blessed on the merit of the righteous people. And Psalm 73, it's not there, 73:3, it says, I grew envious of the arrogant and saw how the wicked prosper. I mean, we all can see people around us, and we wonder why the wicked prosper. So this particularly explains why the Torah limits itself to speaking about the physical rewards and punishment in this world, because the spiritual rewards and punishment are measured out to individuals, not to the nations. When a person stands before Yahweh in the final judgment, he will be judged according to what he has done, not according to what his neighbor or countryman has done. Moreover, the Torah never says that keeping Elohim's law or Torah will merit eternal life in the world to come. Ultimately, eternal life is a gift of Elohim's grace, and a person cannot earn it by keeping the Torah, but same time he cannot earn it by ignoring the Torah. Ephesians 2:8-9. Put slide, please. For you have been delivered by grace through trust. With the Messiah Yeshua for a life of good action already prepared by Elohim for us to do. Physical reward can be earned and experienced in this present world and our lives. The ultimate reward of entering the kingdom of heaven, however, cannot be earned by keeping Torah. It must be acquired by faith. And remember the parables Yeshua told his disciples, I think Matthew 13, I think I didn't put the slide. So the kingdom of heaven is like it's like a treasure hidden in a field. A man find it, hid it again, then in great joy went and sold everything he owned and bought that field. It describes the physical reality, but it's really talking about the spiritual. It requires 180 degrees turn. This man realized that his physical reality, his physical life, it doesn't really matter. And this is the next level when the person, you know, you're not concentrating on the physical blessings when you realize that the physical reality is only temporary. Yeshua reiterated many times that, you know, don't store treasure on earth because it's only temporary. This man who saw this treasure, he sold everything. And we are not just talking about his physical possessions. He changed his life. He gave his life away because he understands that this is only temporary. He wants more than this temporary. He understands that it requires more than just say that, you know, I want this. No, he can't be that old person anymore. He just cannot be that person. As we read today in a Torah portion, the after the blessings, next part we've been talking about the series of curses that will befall upon the children of Israel if they are not faithful to the covenant. And it may seem that there are many more curses than blessings. It only appears this way because the blessings are spoken in a broad and quick way. In sort of in general terms, when the curses, on the other hand, been, you know, spelled out in exquisite details, I would say. The Torah relates the curses in close up. You can imagine the slow motion details with one reason, really, to deter Israel from breaking the covenant. And we'll know the history of Israel through many histories, what happened when they've been breaking the covenant. The very thing which we've been reading today was implemented. The law, the spiritual law of blessings and curses which Yah set upon the nation of Israel is set in motion. If nation complies and obeys, that nation is blessed. And if it's not, there are consequences. And we know through the history, so Assyrian, they've been expelled in Assyrian exiles and later on in Babylonian. And after Yeshua, Romans, you know, spread pretty much everyone all over the place. So the curses or the punishment in Hebrew, the word which used for punish actually is yazar, is normally used for if you discipline someone or such as for example parent discipline a child. The punishment or the curses are not a sign that Elohim abandoned you know, person or a nation, abandoned his people. On the contrary, and we read it in the Proverbs 13:24. Next, please. He who fails to use a stick hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. It is important It is important to discipline the children, same way as it was important for Yehovah to discipline his people, the nation, and just simply to say that, you know, I do what I meant. He clearly stated the consequences, and it was important to implement. In Hebrews 12:7-10, we read, Elohim is dealing with you as sons. For what son goes undisciplined by his father? All legitimate sons undergo discipline. So if you don't, you are mamzer and not a son.
Illegitimate.
Furthermore, we had physical father who disciplines us, and we respected them. How much more should we submit to our spiritual father and live? For they disciplined us only for a short time and only as best they could. But he disciplines us in a way that provides genuine benefit to us and enable us to share in his holiness. So when we talk about curses, it's obviously unpleasant, but we need to understand the reason why it is important to effect of curses to happen. That's what the good father does. He disciplines the children. Unfortunately, in today's society, if you smack your child, you maybe end up being in trouble. So, more than in trouble. In actual fact, I remember when we moved to New Zealand, and, you know, everything was new to me, and my English wasn't good, same as now. So my son was not Mark. I have another son. He was 5 years old, and I remember one day he came home, and he pretty much told me that, teacher told us, if you're going to be smacked at home, tell us. He said, you know, parents are going to be in trouble. That's pretty much been promoted to school. And for me, you know, coming from different culture, I thought, what? Then what does it mean? So what can I do? I'm a father. What can I do? Couldn't do nothing. It's not like I was constantly been smacking him, but it is awful feeling when someone take away your natural responsibilities, I guess. It is your right to discipline. And sometimes it means smack. Yah been smacking his nation for a long time. And if what we really should do when we pray about Israel. Because if we understand what Israel is, just because the land been occupied and someone decided to hijack the name Israel, it doesn't make that it is Israel's land, Israel's country. If you look who is actually live, what Israel is, it's a mostly secular society, or Pharisees, or people with high political global agendas. That's what Israel is. And when we pray and we're asking for rain because they have drought, well, really, I think we just read quite clearly. It was very clear, and it is obvious why they've got drought. It's not, we shouldn't pray for the rain. We should pray for the change of heart. People should come to Yah, to his Torah. And until that happened, no iron dome, no missiles, no weapons can save and bring shalom to the land. one of the blessings is shalom. We've been reading today, and you will go to sleep in peace and you wouldn't worry. And now we pray that for shalom, well, we need to pray for people turning to Torah. Living in the land and hijacking the name of Israel. The name Israel does not come with automatic blessings. And that is a problem. And the world just our directions where we're going, which will enable us to regain His shalom. Let me just finish with this. Yohanan, if you just go, skip one slide, please. Yohanan 14:27. What I'm living with you is shalom. I'm giving you my shalom. Yeshua is talking. I don't give the way the world gives. Yohanan, John 15:9-14. Just as my Father has loved me, I too have loved you. So stay in my love. If you keep my commands, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and stay in His love. I have said this to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, that you keep on loving each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than a person who lays down his life for his friends. If you are my friends, if you do what I command you. Any questions? No questions? Well, this was straightforward, isn't it? All right, okay, with no questions, let us go to Yeshua's remembrance service.